Food for Thought is a monthly evening of food, film, and discussion with a focus on films of social, political, environmental, and community interest. Held on the third Thursday of each month at the Linda in Albany, the series is co-presented by the Honest Weight Food Co-op. This month's film is Nothing Like Chocolate, a documentary about an anarchist chocolate maker, Mott Green, who operated an unusual chocolate factory in Grenada that turns out delicious creations unknown to a world saturated with industry-produced cocoa. More on that in a few moments. Joe Angelo was a close friend of Mott Green. He is the owner and founder of Angelo's Distributing, local organic food distribution company based in Claremont, New York. He joins us now to tell us more about the Grenada Chocolate Company and the film Nothing Like Chocolate. And Joe, it's a great pleasure to have you come in this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Privilege and pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you. What got you hooked up with Mott Green in the first place?
Well, so I started Angelo's Distributing. It's a distribution company that's basically sells mostly local organic food. And the reason why the company exists is because back in 2002, there was a wonderful regional distribution company called Northeast Cooperatives that went out of business. It became a monopoly pretty much of one publicly traded stock company, UNFI, United Natural Foods, Inc. And I saw that there was a real need for local representation in the market. And so we were distributing to a number of stores in New York City, one of which in the East Village was one of the original customers of the Grenada Chocolate Company in the early 2000s. And he kept telling me that I needed to meet Mott Green. And he kept telling Mott Green that Mott Green needed to meet Joe Angelo. And at some point, Mott Green made a very courageous move and brought a container of chocolate to the United States and realized that it's here in the States. Now what happens? Yeah. And so that was the beginning of our relationship. He came up here to his aunt and uncle's bed and breakfast up in Lee. We met and became fast friends, which actually happened to most people who met Mott Green.
The film, which is going to be, as I mentioned, is going to be shown on Thursday, is really interesting. And looking at it, because he was really doing things that were cool before they were cool, right? I mean, this was something that he was one of the revolutionaries in this movement.
Well, actually, that's absolutely correct. The Grenada Chocolate Company is what I call the original tree-to-bar chocolate company. The whole industry is changing right now, much like coffee. It's probably more like wine 20 years ago because you have these estates that grow cocoa. Cocoa, by the way, cacao, that's a tree, that's a plant. Cocoa is the fruit that comes from that plant, which is where chocolate comes from.
Right.
And so he was definitely a revolutionary. A brilliant mind, brilliant thinker. And he loved Grenada, and he had been there many times as a child, and he fell in love with cocoa and spent 10 years living in the bush there. And he and a couple of partners, Doug Brown from the West Coast in Oregon, Edmund Brown from Grenada, they started to create very small-scale chocolate, and it could not happen, actually, at the time that they started because there was no way to get cocoa butter, which is cocoa fat. The cocoa bean itself is made up of 50% fat, much like a peanut or an almond or something like that. And you have to add that back in to sweet chocolate, like the 60%. If it's made up of 60% cocoa, that's a 40% sugar. And in order to make it a chocolate bar, you have to add cocoa fat to it. He wanted a chocolate bar that Grenadians would eat. So he wanted to make chocolate, grow the cocoa, make chocolate, and have Grenadians eat that chocolate. And they had a preference for sweeter chocolate. The yeah. only way you could do that with your own cocoa was somehow extract cocoa fat, and otherwise known as cocoa butter. No way to do it at the time. What did they do? They invented what's now affectionately called in the industry the Grenada Press. It's made with car jacks and I-beams, and it has about 23,000 pounds of pressure, and it literally presses the cocoa butter out. And then they just kept going with different machines and contraptions that they invented to create the chocolate. And today they're known as one of the world-class original. They are the original fine chocolate, tree-to-bar chocolate company.
Which is better than and different certainly than industrial produced cocoa, where it's just stripped and then taken somewhere else, right?
Well, yeah. So, well, as the movie Nothing Like Chocolate so elegantly portrays, the cocoa industry is a huge, huge business. It's one of the main commodities of the world, like coffee, sugar, corn, soy,
right?
You know, all those. And it's well worth seeing how that all plays out. But at the end of the day, and what inspired Mott the most was that these places where cocoa are grown in the tropics tend to be very exploited as a commodity. And what really disturbed him the most was the fact that 40% of the world's cocoa supply comes from one nation in West Africa called the Ivory Coast. And all the major cocoa exporters and chocolate makers of the world purchased Ivory Coast cocoa because it's the cheapest cocoa on the planet. And the reason that it's the cheapest cocoa on the planet, I think there's definite evidence to support this in various films and news reports that it's cheap because of child slavery that's happening there. And he was so appalled to think that that's even possible that he said, we have to come up with a better solution. And that's chocolate, cocoa farmers, chocolate makers, all working together in a cooperative spirit to make the finest chocolate in the world, or some of the finest chocolate in the world. And they did it. They did it. Nobody else had done it before they did it.
How has that community grown over the years?
How has the Grenada chocolate community grown over the years? Well, it's a village in Hermitage in St. Patrick, Grenada, and it's grown by just incremental, very organic,
the
organic, in a very organic way. It's quite amazing to see. I've been involved in the last 5 years, but it was in existence 5 years before that, or 7 years before that, and really literally, you know, working out of somebody's kitchen to this beautiful little factory that's having a real impact in the cocoa production in Grenada. Every year, the sales tend to go up enough to support another farm or another farmer to come on board and join the co-op. Yeah. And prices have gone up again this year for the cocoa growers, well above fair trade international prices. And the hope is one day to, you know, create an organic cocoa island that's making nothing but amazing chocolate.
And that's what I ultimately was getting at, in the sense that the farmers want in on this. I mean, it's beneficial, and it's a community and a family, and it's beneficial to them, and obviously they want to be part of something like this.
It's definitely a sense of national pride. In Mott's memorial service, the Prime Minister got up and spoke in Grenada. And he said when he travels abroad, there are two things that people ask him about. One is St. George's University, which is the medical school in Grenada. And the second thing they ask him about is chocolate and the Grenada chocolate. So there's definitely some awareness internationally of what's happening and why it's a good thing. And boy, you know, you can taste it in the chocolate.
The Mott Green passed away in June of 2012 and
13.
2013. Mm-hmm. And the film was well underway at that point.
It had already been released. Yes.
Yeah. And what was what was his reaction
to the film?
Yes.
I think that he really enjoyed it. I watched it with him on a couple of occasions, even before its final version. And I believe that he really enjoyed, you know, there are certain things whenever a film is set in a moment of time. And so obviously by the time it was released, certain things in his life had changed and certain things around the chocolate company themselves had changed. And so some of the portrayals might not have been as up to date as he would have liked, but as things changed. But in general, I think everybody believes it was a well-made film, and it portrayed the reality of the chocolate world.
So will you be at the screening on Thursday?
I will, yes.
Will there be chocolate there?
There will be chocolate there.
Let's see, what could go wrong with this? Nothing Like Chocolate will screen at the Linda as part of the Food for Thought film series this Thursday. More information is available at wamc.org/roundtable. Joe Angelo, I thank you very much for being here. We look forward to seeing you on Thursday night for this great event. It sounds like an awful lot of fun, and I thank you for sharing this story with us.
Well worth coming out, and thank you very much for having me,
really,
Joe.
Really appreciate it. Thank you. Again, you can find out more information by going to wamc.org, wamc.org/roundtable, for more information about the Linda event on Thursday night, the film Nothing Like Chocolate. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.